Well, hello and welcome to Cloverdale Baptist Podcast. We are so thankful that you've joined us with a desire to grow deeper in your relationship and intimacy with Jesus and wider in your impact with the gospel and a gospel-oriented life. Over the summer, we've been studying how we can be those who are not only Christians in name, but in an all-defining relationship. And we've been playing it off the $3 worth of the gospel, and it is a great place to stop because emotionally it reminds us that being followers of Jesus is much more than just a decision, much more than a religion, much more than just attending a church. It's an all-defining relationship. I would like to buy about $3 worth of the gospel, please. Not too much, just enough to make me happy. Not so much that I get addicted. I don't want so much gospel that I learn to really hate covetousness and lust. I certainly don't want so much that I start to love my enemies, cherish self-denial, and contemplate missionary service in some alien culture. I want ecstasy, not repentance. I want transcendence, not transformation. I would like to be cherished by some nice, forgiving, broad-minded people, but I myself don't want to love those from different races, especially if they think, smell, and live differently than me. I would like enough of the gospel to make my family secure and my children well-behaved, but not so much that I find my ambitions redirected or my giving too greatly enlarged. I would like about $3 worth of the gospel, please. I first heard that from D.A. Carson, and it brought conviction to my heart as well as grief, because I think so many in the Canadian church culture live with about $3 of the gospel. And we've said, well, how do we fight that? How do we respond so that we become those who have discovered the treasure in the field or found the pearl of great price and sell everything we have and value the king and his kingdom more than anyone or anything else? How do we have that Romans 12:1 living sacrifice all in relationship with Jesus? And we've said we need to realize what it is. It is a relationship. It is all-defining. It is the God of the universe who is real and relevant, and that's important for us to remember and to constantly set him before us. As a review, we've been walking through how we can grow in these things, and we said we need to be gospel-oriented. We need to be a people who not only come to know God through the good news of the gospel, the great news that we can have a relationship with God that is full of forgiveness and freedom and joy. But we also need to preach the gospel to ourselves every day so it shapes us. We need to be word saturated so that we become those who think biblically. Our worldview is informed by and motivated in word saturation. We need to be more in the word than in the world. We want to be those who are prayer filled. We want to be those who talk to God and praise him and live in that relationship, who seek him, who ask and find and are part of a corporate group that seeks him together. We want to be in a community of faith. We want to be those who are committed to the local church, who worship God together, who exalt his name, who encourage one another to stay faithful and loyal to him. The last one is the one that kind of sums up the rest and really the passion, and took a little while for me to put it in because it does seem to be repetitive. But that's that we want an all-defining relationship. You say, well, you've already said that. That's really what gospel orientation is about. That's really what word saturation is about. That's really what being prayer-filled is about. That's really what having this community orientation, this community passion is about, belonging to the local church and serving her. That's really what it's all about. And my answer is yes. But without this reminder, quite often those first four can be, well, they can be done without relationship. They can actually be done in such a way that you deepen your religion, the Pharisees did that well, and not have an all-defining relationship, a grace-oriented relationship, a love for God that defines. When Jesus was walking in and amongst the churches in the book of Revelation, it's a great reminder to us not only of his presence, but also what he wants from us. And the church of Ephesus was a great church. It was a church that was pastored by great people and planted by great people and had amongst the members of the church a guy by the name of John who wrote the book of Revelation and even had Mary, the mother of Jesus, attend. as Jesus walks among this church, he looks at them and he says, you're working hard. You're enduring. You're a church that hates those who are evil and kicks them out. You're a church that tests those with good doctrine and that have false doctrine, and you find them to be false. And for the name's sake of God, you have not grown weary. But then he says these words, and these words ring in terms of what I want us to get across in this podcast. But I have this against you. This is Revelation 2, verse 4. That you have abandoned the love you had at first. That you abandoned the love you had at first. Listen, Canadian church, you can have all sorts of things going for you. But if you don't have this all-defining love relationship with God, you're missing out on authentic Christianity that pleases God. You can be in a great church. You can have great kids, and you can only have $3 worth of the gospel, and that won't save. So what do we do to make sure, as we're gospel-oriented, word-saturated, prayer-filled, and community-committed, what do we do to make sure that this is not just a game we're playing, but a God we actually are living in an all-defining relationship with? What do we do in terms of listening to Jesus as he walks among our church to make sure that this all-defining relationship is ours? How do we fixate on him, fix our eyes on him, if you want to use Hebrews 12 language? And I love that Jesus tells us. He says, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Or perhaps better said, remember that first love delight, that first love devotion, that excitement that you came into my presence, that desire to be all in, to live for me no matter what the cost. Remember what it means and feels like to have a first love devotion. Listen, as we talk about this, if you can't remember that, then now is the time to get something that you can remember later. Now is the time to plead with God to send his Holy Spirit into your life, that you might have this all-defining devotion, this all-delighting love, this desire to please God above everything and everyone else. Remember what it's like, God says, to have a first love devotion to Jesus. And then he says, not only remember, but repent. Repent is a change of mind. It's a change of direction. It's a change of beliefs. It's what we need to do when we read the Word of God. We need to, as the Reformers have said, live a constant life of repentance. Repentance here meaning, I want what I had before. I want to change my mind so that I'm driven and defined by my greatest treasure, my greatest relationship, the relationship I have with Jesus. I want to live in that relationship because God is real and God is relevant and God is walking amongst his churches and God is with me. And so I want to realign in terms of what that means and in terms of seeing life and Christianity from a biblical perspective, maybe even deeper, from a relational perspective. Remember, repent. And then I've used the words redo because I wanted an R, but the text says, this is Revelation 2 verse 5, and do the works you did at first. That this is what I love about pursuing intimacy with God. There's a pathway that we can take. Now, the pathway in and of itself is not enough. We need to have the desire. We need to have the memories. We need to have the emotional commitment and the volitional commitment and the deep desire, intellectual commitment. We need to be all in, and then there needs to be a consistent pattern of obedience to keep the relationship first. Remember, build those memories in of that first love, all-in devotion. Repent. Realign with what you want and desire more than anything else, more than anything else. In fact, I think this lack of first love devotion is a bigger deal than COVID or where you're going to work or really anything else you could be distracting your brain with. I think one of the great ways the demonic attack comes is it disorients us from relationship. We seem to have the religion in place, but we lose sight of this first love devotion. So do those things. Spend your time fixating on preaching the gospel to yourself, of word saturation, of being prayer-filled, of being community committed. Do the things you know for a fact are essential to being a healthy Christian, because when you do those things in pursuit of intimacy with God, you will discover a growing, constant growing relationship with him. Now, I will say to you, as you grow in your intimacy with God, this is a bit of a warning of delight, I suppose. But the closer you get to God, the further away you realize you are. And so this is where, as you pursue this intimacy with Him, as you see God for who He is biblically, make sure you keep the grace of God central to your relationship with the God of the Word. In other words, what makes you acceptable to God is not your perfection. The closer you get to Him, the more you're in the light, the more you'll see your own motives or thoughts or desires not measuring up. And you constantly need to remember that because of what Jesus has done for you, you literally have the righteousness of Christ. He who knew no sin became sin for us, this is 2 Corinthians 5:21, so that in Him we might become the very righteousness of God. I love the word justification. It's just as if I'd never sinned. And it's more than that. It's just as if I'd always obeyed. You know, when Jesus was summing up the entire Old Testament, He did so relationally. He said, we need to love God. We need to have an all-defining, demanding relationship with Him that's one of full devotion. And the overflow of that, we need to love one another as we love ourselves. This relationship is essential to being authentic and having more than $3 of the gospel. So get to know the God of the Bible. Deepen your relationship with Him. Fixate on that relationship and then allow your entire life to be driven and defined by Him so that you live for Him. Remember, repent. Redo or renew that devotion, that pattern of living for Him. Listen, the God of the Bible is awesome and holy and loving. And He treasures those who are His and desires and demands from us a response of obedience, of delight, of love, and a full devotion. So my pleading with you as you look through the pathway to having more than $3 of the gospel is that you'd walk this pathway consistently in your life, that you'd endure, and even more than that, for the church at Ephesus did endure, you'll keep your relationship with Jesus the first and most important thing in your life. Then you will have consistently a lot more than $3 of the gospel.